We were just kicking around some ideas about programming and discussions for the Vibug meetings. And we thought maybe just a little bit of discussion and sharing of experiences and pros and cons about attending a conference or convention that's usually specifically for the blind or people with disabilities. And usually, well, many of them have a strong technology component to them, that such a discussion might be valuable for some people who've never been and are considering it. You know, what should they think about, or what might they want to think about ahead of time? So Jeanette and I and Mika all have some experience doing this. Jeanette unfortunately couldn't be here today, but she sent me some notes and asked me to read them. So it's a nice introduction to the topic. She has some great comments in here. And so I'm going to try to read that. And then Mika, I think, is on, and maybe he'd like to share his experience or any additional notes, and then I can chime in as well. Okay, so channel Jeanette here. If you've never gone to or booked a conference or convention before, here are some things to keep in mind. Research where it is being held, the size of the conference or convention, the number of days it lasts, is there an exhibit hall, are people demonstrating the use of products with hands-on experiences, or in a room with a lecture-style environment? Do you have to register for the conference in advance? And is there a deadline, of course, if you have to register? How much does it cost? That can be a big one for some of these conventions and conferences are rather pricey. And most importantly, given your skills, do you feel you can attend independently, or would you be more comfortable bringing someone with you? I think, again, this is Jeanette still, I think equally important to consider is you may not get to see everything you would like. Sometimes these conventions and conferences are very packed and busy, depending on how crowded it is. So organize yourself in advance. If you have access to a list of vendors attending or demonstrations happening, pick the ones you're most likely to benefit from and then add on more as time permits. Lastly, go and have fun. If you get overwhelmed, take a break and don't stress. Have a way of keeping track of any literature or business cards you may be offered, because often you can contact the vendors after the conference or convention. So that's what Jeanette contributed. Some really valuable advice in there. So Mika, do you want to add to that?
Sure. So I think in thinking about conferences and conventions around, you know, blindness and more specifically technology, there's kind of two kinds of conferences that we might think of. And one is what are often called the consumer conventions. So that would be the ACB and the NFB conventions. And of course, those usually take place in June and July. And this year, they'll both be in July. And both advocacy organizations hold conventions. So the other kind of major conference would be sort of like an accessibility or a trade show type convention. So an example of that might be CSUN on the West Coast, or the M-Enabling Summit, or the Consumer Electronics Show. They also take place annually. But if we start out with the consumer conventions, they almost always take place in late June and July. There's the ACB and the NFB convention. That's going to be your most economical route to go and see a lot of. They both offer a wide variety of workshops on technology. For instance, there's always a kind of what's new with Freedom Scientific products, and you can ask questions, and they have exhibit halls. And then in some of the general sessions, they're kind of covering public policy around technology and accessibility as well, and whatever public policy initiatives each organization might want to take. So now that Jonathan Mosen is working for NFB, there could be more, you know, in that area, since that's his whole function there at NFB, to kind of advance accessibility public policy. But again, the registration fees for those are minimal. $25, $50 if you don't register for the banquet. The hotels are a lot less expensive, somewhere around $100 to $150 a night. And it's kind of geared toward consumers who are blind or low vision. And of course, the ACB and NFB also have state conventions, which are kind of smaller versions of the big national ones, but they don't have anywhere near the scale of exhibitors and workshops and things like that that either national convention would have. There are kind of some bigger ones, bigger states that have a large ACB or NFB presence. So those might get somewhat close, but I don't think we really have that in New England to a large extent. And there's also things like the Carroll Center Tech Fair that's kind of a hybrid between a professional conference and a consumer conference. And that I don't think there's a charge to attend, and it's pretty easy. You know, it's on the ride, or you can get there by Uber or T, and you know, there's not a lot of barriers to go. And then if you move on to what you might consider kind of the professional conferences or trade shows or industry trade shows, they're certainly open to consumers, but they're more geared to people working in the accessibility industry or the technology industry in general, and they're a lot more expensive. For instance, I was asked to talk a little bit about the CSUN conference. That stands for California State University at Northridge. And I was just looking at the information for next year, and it's going to be the 41st annual CSUN conference next year. It always takes place in Southern California. It has moved around over the years a bit. When I first started going, it was at the LAX airport. And then it moved to San Diego, which a lot of people like that location the best. And now it, for several years, including next year, it's been for a while in Anaheim, California, kind of near Disney World. But just to give you an idea, I just looked up my last receipt just for the registration fee. And the registration was about $595, just registering for the conference alone. And that's not covering hotel or airfare or anything. And the hotel prices for a lot of these industry conferences or trade shows are usually a lot more. So your CSUN hotels can easily be somewhere in the range of $200 to $300 a night. So they don't get as favorable pricing as the consumer summer shows. But the CSUN conference is going to be March 9th through the 13th. So that's a Monday through Friday in 2026. I mean, there is an option that someone can get to just get a free exhibit hall pass. So that's something that you could consider to defray some of those costs. So you technically wouldn't be able to go to the workshops and a lot of the presentations, but you could kind of do networking and visit the exhibit hall. And a lot of people do that. More so at CSUN and some of these accessibility conferences, a lot of the vendors will have parties and receptions, you know, where they're providing a lot of free food and drink, and you can talk to people from the vendors. So it might be back in the day with IRA or Freedom Scientific or any Humanware. Pretty much every night at CSUN, there's kind of a reception that's sponsored by one of the vendors. So you can save a lot of money on food that way because they're providing a lot of food. And it's pretty easy to get invited. I remember one time my niece came with me to the CSUN when it was in San Diego, and she either just got invited or crashed all of the vendor parties. So they kind of tell you, oh, it's invite only and it's really exclusive, but they're not going to really kick you out for the most part if you show up. So, and they kind of give out these invitations at the booth or online or however they might want to do it. So another accessibility conference a little closer to home is the M Enabling Summit. That takes place in the fall near Washington, D.C. and in Crystal City in Arlington. A similar kind of pricey registration fee and pricey hotel charges to stay down there. And it's not quite as big and has a little different focus than CSUN, but if you wanted to check something like this out, that might be you know, something kind of closer to getting there. I will also mention something unique about the Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, that takes place every January in Las Vegas. I had the opportunity to go 1 year through my work. And one really interesting thing that they provide are guides for people who are blind. There are probably 5 to 10 different huge convention halls where they have various exhibits and items that you can look at for the Consumer Electronics Show. So, I mean, the CES show has anything from new automobiles to like furniture to new technology products. There's no way you could probably even hit 50% of it. And it's very easy to sign up for a guide. In fact, on the main registration form that everybody fills out, part of the section on accommodations, one of the things you can check off is that you want a guide. I set that up the year that I went. And the guides come from a similar company that provides interpreting for the deaf. So that's how they logistically source the people that do this. So that's what that company is doing. The guides for people who are blind is kind of a small part of what they do, but they do offer that service for CSUN. And you basically tell them what days and times during the week you want to have a guide. So you can put down some of the pre-formal conference events and the formal conference days. You know, you can put down that you want a guide from, you know, 9 to 5 every day or however long you want to go. It's best to probably put a little more than you need. And if you don't, you can always say, you know, you're ready to go back to the hotel. And when I went, I had the same person assigned, you know, to me for the whole week. And I had her cell phone number so we could just text to coordinate where we were going to meet. And then, you know, I could decide which of these huge convention centers, you know, I wanted to go to, and then visiting some of the booths. For CES, you do have to have some kind of industry connection, but they do look for people that write about assistive technology, even doing blogs or podcasts. They do try to sort of encourage a presence through the Steve Yule and the CTA Foundation. They do like to have people with disabilities and people who are blind and low vision there. So I think if you wanted to go and you at least could show some kind of that you wrote in articles or blog posts where you worked in the industry, it wouldn't be that hard to get the invitation. And the costs for registration on that are sometimes minimal, but then you have the costs of, you know, staying in Las Vegas. And that is one of the most popular events in Las Vegas. So it's usually a little bit more on the pricier side. But if you get a hotel that's not directly connected to one of these convention centers where the conference is, then it could be a little less expensive. And you would just have to take an Uber to get back and forth to your hotel. I do recommend, in general, if you can, to go to a conference a little bit on the early side. It does add a little bit more cost, but it kind of lets you get more acclimated with the hotel. So for example, the CSUN conference, the pre-conference workshops are typically Monday and Tuesday, and then the general event starts Tuesday through Friday, your keynotes and your sessions and your exhibit hall and all that. So I like to go, if I can, Sunday or Monday. Some people will show up, you know, Tuesday afternoon, and then they have to get off the plane and just hit the ground running and go to the opening session. And it doesn't really give you a lot of time to kind of get acclimated and learn your way around the hotel. And unfortunately, also CSUN now, they used to produce everything in Braille, conference programming and everything, and it's all moved to online only. And I don't even think now they provide a sort of a written description of the Marriott Anaheim Hotel, which would be good. That is something also that the blindness conventions, both ACB and NFB, and it's probably already published now, will have a full description of the hotel, the orientation. How do you get from the lobby to the elevator? Or how do you get from the lobby to the meeting room? Or how do you get from the lobby to the exhibit hall? So they'll have a written text narrative description about the layout of the hotel that you can look at before you get there, and you can access it as a reference while you're there. And they both still do provide full Braille programs for those of us that read Braille. Even with the ACB convention, I think if you sign up virtually, I think the deadline has passed, but you could have gotten a Braille program sent to you at home, which all of these conventions, for the most part, offer some of their material virtually. So even CSUN has a YouTube channel. So I didn't get to go, unfortunately, this past year in 2025, but there is a CSUN YouTube channel, and a few sessions a day they would broadcast live on the YouTube channel, or you could watch it on demand to get a little flavor for the show and just to be able to watch some of the sessions, and you don't have to pay for that or anything. You just access it on YouTube. And then one of the nice things at this particular CSUN, the BITS, which is the ACB Computer Group Blind Information Technology, not sure what the S stands for. They were providing kind of like a Zoom call in the evenings with people that were at CSUN, and they were kind of each giving a little presentation and answering questions. So you'll often find something like that, that if you can't go, you can tune into it. In fact, several years ago, John Oliveira and I at CSUN did like a CSUN live stream every night, and we kind of interviewed people from the hotel. And it was a live broadcast, so people who couldn't go or didn't make it could hear from us. And then we would interview kind of key people with different companies that are going. And I know also Blind Bargains, JJ Meadow, over the years has done a lot of podcasting from whether it be CSUN or other conferences. So that's a way to stay abreast of it if you can't or don't want to go or can't afford to go. But it's unfortunate that that's pricey, especially the trade shows. I mean, they all say that they want consumers to be able to go, but it's mostly 95%, if not more, of like people, their companies, you know, are sending them so they can charge, you know, a lot higher price than you would see with a consumer convention. But I definitely would recommend going to any of and all of these that might interest you. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Amy, unless we have any questions beforehand.
Sometimes some of these big vendors have their own podcasts already, like Freedom Scientific, right? And I think some of the same content gets podcasted out that way as what is presented at the conventions or conferences or CSUN, some of it. Also, if you're on any of their email lists, as someone was saying earlier, they do extend many of the convention pricing of their products to people who aren't attending for July, say for the month of July. They'll do convention pricing. And even if you're not there, you can get that price. Yeah, there definitely is some IP protection going on there as well. But personally, I've been to CSUN once or twice. I've been to the NFB convention once last summer. I haven't been to CSUN for some time. It is pricey. There are pros and cons to attending in person, but one of the pros is the networking. I met a lot of people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. And so that was definitely a pro of going and meeting some of the vendors, especially some of the more lesser huge ones, you know, the more middle-sized companies and things like that, where the actual CEO is there, you know, and you can talk to them. And if you have experience with their product, you can sometimes have a brief discussion with them about it and have some give and take. That's a plus. The only thing I wanted to also add to what Mika and Jeanette said, and reinforcing what Jeanette said about doing your homework ahead of time to pick out what sessions or areas of the exhibit hall will be most of interest to you. I do that with my own professional. I go to conferences professionally, you know, scientific conferences, and I have to do that ahead of time because they're gigantic with tens of concurrent sessions all in my field. So I have to browse the program ahead of time and pick and choose. Oh, the only other one thing, I went one of those, CSUN, I went the last time I went, which was a long time ago. My vision was better. I would consider myself, I was low vision then. And I went by myself. It was a little challenging getting around the exhibit hall. I will say that. On my own, I managed. But then I went to the NFB convention last year with a sighted guide, and it was much more efficient. And I think I got a lot more out of it because she knew what I was looking for, and we'd talk about it, and she'd zoom right in, like, "All right, here's our table. Let's talk here," you know. And so that was helpful. So I think if you can get a guide, it can be a little bit more of efficient and productive experience.
If you're looking for a job in the assistive technology or that might be another reason to go and try to network. And I know also the NFB and probably ACB has a career fair as well.
Are there any comments from others who've been and had a positive or maybe a negative experience they want to share or any questions?
Hi, Amy and Mika. This is Nina. I would just add too that I've been to ACB to their conference many times. And I've been to other types of professional conventions for my own job. I agree what both Mika and Amy said, that you need to do some homework before you go. It makes things a lot easier if you read to know what all the vendors are, if you're going to be in the convention hall, so that you can choose which ones you want to go to and then get the schedule so you know what tables you're looking for. So you have a plan, because otherwise it can be overwhelming. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of noise. And so if you know, well, I want to go to table 1, I want to go to table 7, and I want to go to table 13, you have a plan. And you know, you could figure out, do the tables all go top to bottom, left to right? What's the numbering of the sequence of the booths? And figure that out so you can, you know, make your way through the different halls and see what you want to see. As Mika had said, when Frank and I had gone to the ACB conventions, we usually either went a day early or the day that we came, we would show up early in the morning so that we could walk around and orient ourselves when there weren't that many people there. And that really helps if you know, you don't have a sighted person with you. That's what I would add.
One thing they have been doing at CSUN is providing like an orientation tour in one of the first days. So sometimes it can get kind of crowded, but that is something that they've gotten a local O&M organization or people to do it. And also less than you might think, but you know, sometimes there are these indoor navigation apps that map part of these blindness conventions, like Good Maps, but sometimes they'll just map like a really small part just to demo it. So it won't be all that useful, you know, if they don't map the whole thing, you know, if they just map how to get from the door to the exhibit hall and that's it, then they'll be able to find.
And the front desk, things. Maybe.
And then, you know, the apps still kind of sometimes work and sometimes don't, these sort of indoor wayfinding apps. But if you're going to something, you might want to try to look and see, has any indoor, you know, like Good Maps or other ones, are they planning to provide mapping for this? And you could check on their website or social media, or even contact them and try to find out.
Governor, a couple of comments. One conference that both of you did not mention is ATIA, Assistive Technology Industry Association. They do them in Florida, usually Orlando. It's very big too. I mean, I think a lot bigger than even CSUN. For blind people, yes, they always have staff for blind people, but they are very heavy on AAC devices for people's speech and all that. But there's definitely enough for people who are blind and low vision. So, and the other comment I will make is this whole idea of providing sighted guides for folks. I don't know how long it's been around, but it's great. They do it. The last time I went to ATIA, they had one. It's great because these conferences are huge and there's so many of them happening at the same time. Sometimes if you have sessions that are not at the same time, but near each other, going from one place to the other can take you a little while if you are blind and you don't know your way around. So it's absolutely helpful. Even if you are comfortable getting you around by yourself, it doesn't hurt to have sighted guides so you can quickly get from one location to the other, right? It doesn't, necessarily undermine your ability to function independently if there's a service like that. It absolutely helps. Always look for those, options if they're offered. When I went to CSUN the last time, I don't remember them having it, so I'm glad that they did this time around. Yeah, but
I don't think CSUN, it was the Consumer Electronics.
Okay, Consumer Conference. All right. Yeah, but ATIA, they had it. Actually, turns out, yes, they assigned me one person for the whole week. She says she lived in Massachusetts for a long time. She retired and went to Florida. So now she lives there, but from Massachusetts. And so you agree on what sessions you want to go to and all that. So they assign somebody. And then when it's time, you meet up and then you go to your sessions. In my case, I'll tell her, okay, I'm all set. And then she'll leave. And then when the session is over, she'll come just before the session is supposed to be over. And then she'll either stand outside or sometimes she'll come in and grab me and then we'll go to the next one. So it works.
Has anyone ever had any success, say, getting a scholarship or travel fellowship or something to go?
For the NSB, they do have a scholarship thing that people can apply for first-time participants. Mm. And then you go through your state affiliate president and stuff. But they do have a national program. And all in all, they seem to bring a good number of people. I mean, over the years, when they mentioned at a convention, they will mention how many people are first-time attendees and came by that fund. They call it the Jennigan Fund. Mm. It has to be at least 200-plus people that come through that option nationally.
Yeah, they have that. Yeah.
And then ATIA, and I think they have something. I haven't looked into it, but I know ATIA does have something for
travel
people who need help.
Sorry.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And I know lastly, CSUN did a long time ago, but I'm not sure if they still do.
Now, one other comment quickly about providing options for people who cannot attend in person. They are doing some of it. For instance, with CSUN, with ATIA, even before I went, I know they always had an option where you can register, especially since COVID, you register and you can attend some of the sessions virtually. And then afterwards, for I think a month or two, you have access to recordings and also the various presentations, if they are PowerPoints, slide decks, whatever, on a website that you have access to if you register. I remember, for instance, in my case, when I went, after I came back, because I'm there and people are doing all these presentations and they send you a link. I said, hold on, I don't have time for all of that. But when I came back, then I went to the site and downloaded even some of the sessions I didn't get to go to because of this thing you both talk about. There are 5-10 different sessions at the same time. And sometimes you want to go to both of them happening at the same time. It's like, well, you can do that. So I went and downloaded some of the stuff that I didn't go to. It's nothing like you actually being in the session. These are just slide decks, right? They have some recordings, but not a whole lot.
And this is John Vibug, actually has a presence at the Carol Tech Fair. And Mikra is also a presenter often at that fair. For people who want to sort of have a virtually free access to at least some of the vendors. You know, it's a very small venue, but there are often vendors there that you might want to see their products. It's virtually free for, I think, people, for consumers. And it's actually, you know, a quick way to get your first test at going to exhibit. I just want to say about the exhibits, especially for ACB and NFB. One of the things I love listening virtually to a lot of things and listening to what how things work and descriptions of the stuff, but there's nothing like touching the product. That's what I find. I've been to both NFB and ACB. I'm not necessarily always interested in what actually is being talked about at these conventions, but I love the exhibit halls. I love touching the stuff, seeing what it is, you know, like, and this may sound strange, but I love listening to the vendors trying to sell their wares to other people. You know, I'll listen to see how, you know, how familiar the person is and explaining what it is, listening to what their questions are. And it gives me just an opportunity to kind of evaluate what the different products are and what I would do with it or whatever, just to kind of browse through those exhibits.
I'm actually going to ACB in July, and I looked at the list of vendors, and there's about 80. But the one I'm going to zoom in on is I want to see the new Orbit has a new competitor to the Stream, which is only $300. Yeah. And that's what I'm interested in taking a look at. And maybe there's a difference, and Mickey, you can correct me about this, but I think, for example, at NFB, the exhibitors aren't open while the sessions are on. Whereas at ACB, I think they are.
Yeah, that is one different. They still do it that way.
Most of these vendors will run convention specials. And I think even if you're not at the convention, you can take advantage of them. So at the conventions, you can take advantage of them.
Yeah, you can call or go online and order it and usually still get it. I know, for example, and I don't know if they do this every year. It might have been tied to a grant, but Computers for the Blind at the NFB convention, you could get a laptop for $50. So that was a really good deal. And it's normally $250.
Hi, everybody. This is Nina. But for ACB, I had signed up for the convention virtually. So you guys didn't really talk about like how you actually like register for these things. I don't know if you were going to get into that or not. The application for the ACB one, you know, you can do it online or by phone. If you sign up for it virtually, you don't get access to all of the sessions that are there in person, but all the main stuff you do. So if there's something specifically you want to listen to, you figure that out and you can do that virtually as well as being there.
And it makes it a little quicker if you registered, you know, rather than having to read them your information and have them like type it out. And, you know, so if you can register through the computer, then it's going to be quicker once you get there.
Oh, if you're going in person, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything you can do ahead to avoid waiting in line is a benefit.
And also a lot of these, both the consumer conventions and professional conferences will now have kind of a conference app. So the NFB has been using a Cvent, that's kind of the back end software they use. But there'll be an app where you can see all the exhibitors, all the presentations. You can search attendees unless somebody like blocks their profile. So in advance and during the conference, you can kind of use the app and build like an agenda. And you can go in and put in like a little description of, you know, whether you're going for your company or yourself on kind of what you're working on and interested in. So that's just kind of a newer thing that's available to kind of keep everything in one place. I think the NFB app is going to be released to everybody this week at some point.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Amy. And thank you, Mick. Excellent stuff there. So anyway, excellent presentation. I'm just going to take a quick minute to say that, you know, we're going to start up again in September. So in the meantime, if anybody has any suggestions for topics that they'd like to see, now, feel free to reach out to anybody. Vibug Leadership would be happy, you know, more than happy to try to make it happen. Yeah.